Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning. It's Monday. It is Monday. Did you know that? Did anybody come in today and tell you that it was Monday? Were you informed? Because it's Monday, which means we're just getting started this week. So
I think a lot of people are not.
Getting started? Yeah. You think people are still somewhere else?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a holiday week. What are we talking about?
I know. And it's really
get
weird.
Get your ass to work.
It's really weird. But I think a lot of people mailed it in today or just are still on vacation.
Not us. Not us, baby. We are here. So welcome in. It's all-star break for the Cardinals, but we don't take breaks here on the Chris and Amy show. 314-436-7900. Join us. Also on the Odyssey app, you can leave a voice message directly from the app if you're listening to us there. It's totally cool if you do that. We love them. We're streaming live. If you want to watch us, you can do that. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Our account is at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
We are expecting what he has called a, quote, major statement from the president that is coming today on Russia. So we will keep you posted when we find out what the president has to say about Russia today.
And long lines at Terminal 2 at Lambert Airport yesterday. Apparently, people are blaming the Seventh-day Adventists. Were you stuck in line? We want to hear from you. 314-436-7900.
As I mentioned, it is the All-Star break. Cardinals beat the Braves yesterday, but they lost the series to them. So that's how they go into the All-Star break. And also the Major League Baseball draft happening. Their number 5 pick overall is a pitcher. His name's Liam Doyle. We are going to talk to him today on the Gas House Gang. So it's the next show. And that'll be at 12:15. So we hope you stick around for that. But next 4 games, next 4 days, no Cardinals baseball. So you're just going to have to wait for the official second half of the season. And I know a lot of baseball people get mad when you call it first half and second half because we are past the actual halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
We've already played way more than 81 games.
How many games have we played?
So 100? No, it's 90. I'm looking right now and I can't do math. You know I can't do math. Why'd you make me do this? 97.
Okay.
Cardinals have played 97. They are 51-46. So there you go. They're going to have to go on a run when they come back.
Do many guys, I think I remember, was it Jim Edmonds? But some of the guys, I know it's an honor to be picked for the All-Star game, the All-Star team. And I know for some people, it's probably worked into your contracts that if you get picked,
you get a bonus. Yeah.
But are some guys like, oh my gosh, I just want to be off.
I
just want to just stay home or go on a vacation. I don't want to do the All-Star shenanigans.
I think everybody who gets selected is excited they have been picked.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, I think once most of them get there, even if they have that, like, I wish I didn't have to, like to rest or do whatever. But once they get there, they're into it because it is a huge event, right?
Yeah.
But everybody is thrilled to be picked. Like, you love to get selected for the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And it's not just for the bonus. I mean, that's nice. But you're just, you know, it's an honor. You're an All-Star. You've earned something really cool. So I think they all like it. However, I know that from a fan perspective, I kind of... When I was a kid, I liked watching Cardinals players on the field in a Cardinals uniform next to Cubs players and Mets players playing on the same team. Mm-hmm. I thought there was something really cool about that. But the more I grew up, I don't like my players playing in it, which is weird because I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to get hurt in what's an exhibition game.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, that's how I feel.
We need you guys to help us out today because we have so many questions. 314-436-7900. We will be talking about the Lake of the Ozarks. So get your phones ready because we need to hear from you. We also already mentioned the long lines at Lambert Airport. Did you get stuck in the long lines with the Seventh-day Adventists? Because a lot of them were in town. And my theory is they like dumped everybody off at the airport at
once.
Same time. Yeah.
So I saw the photos on social media. I saw them on Twitter. And I was like, that can't be real, because the photos I saw were from outside the airport, outside the terminal, and the line for security was down the on-ramp where people drive up to drop people off.
Yeah.
It was all outside, the way down there to like the street.
Someone,
there's no way the lines were that long.
Yeah, someone had waited like 2 hours, and I guess it was
They were up to 3 hour waits to get through security.
Well, not only that, but this lady was 2 hours, I think, to get to security, meaning they were like waiting to check bags and so forth before you even head to TSA security. And so it did look like a disaster. And my understanding is that it was really bad from 6 a.m. to noon. And then it kind of just all went away because, again, you dumped everybody off at the same time. So we want to hear from you if you were there. Also, this is my fault. This is a call at the line of scrimmage, which eventually will have to be a question we talk about more. But I was running in Forest Park, as I do. And this is what you hear around the visitor center.
Is it a horse?
No, it's pickleball.
Oh.
I kind of think pickleball is one of the greatest scourges in our society today. And it is sucking people in. It's sucking good Americans. Good Americans. Moms and dads. Husbands and wives. It's sucking them into their little cult sport. Where they're... And is it a sport or is it a game? That's a question. Is pickleball a sport or is it a game?
It's a sport.
It's a game.
No, it's a sport. There's physical activity. And it's, you know, it's an opportunity for people to get something.
It's happening to friends. You know how you don't like to see friends self-destruct? Like if someone's got a real big, maybe they've got a drinking issue. Maybe they've got a habit. They're gambling away their savings. That's how it feels, losing friends to pickleball.
So you're telling me that people going and playing a fairly mild sport.
Game.
Is it's like the same as being in a cult or same as falling into drugs. That's really, that's like nuts.
Okay, I didn't exactly say that.
Yeah, you kind of did.
It was implied.
What is your problem with pickleball?
It becomes people's entire personality.
No, it does not. I don't know a single person who plays pickleball that talks about nothing but pickleball.
Do you know anyone who plays pickleball?
Yeah.
Name him.
You name yours. You tell me your people who won't stop talking about pickleball.
I can't dox them.
You're a liar.
I can't dox them.
Pickleball's fine.
Target has a whole line of retro Prince, you know, the tennis brand.
Yeah.
Retro Prince pickleball outfits. And so one of my friends went to Target and bought the entire outfit.
Oh, that's nice.
Just for one tournament.
See, I think that's cool.
He's a grown man. Then he got recruited to play in a charity tournament. His wife's like, I need you to play in this charity tournament. So he left our event early to go play in the charity tournament. Wasn't told that the charity tournament involved a lot of like kids. Like it was kids playing pickleball. So he said he was a grown man playing little kids.
So where are these pickleball courts? Where the Dwight Davis Center is?
Well, in Forest Park, yes. Some of the tennis courts have been converted at the Dwight Davis tennis court. And then there's the Missouri Pickleball Club. Missouri Pickleball, what's it called? Not association. It's in Fenton. It's massive.
Yeah. Oh.
Club, is it Club?
The
Missouri
NPC.
NPC, the yeah. Missouri Pickleball Club.
It shares the same building as Club Fitness. That's the only reason I know about it.
Okay, Matt, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't play. A friend told me.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong? Matt, if you want to play pickleball, you can go right ahead. Don't let her shame you out of it.
I would never be associated with pickleball.
Now, listen. Dave B. is watching us on YouTube and says running is way more psychotic and obsessive than pickleball. Fact. I know somebody.
Yeah. The only thing is, there are those where running is their whole personality. And the one thing that's made running even worse are the running influencers. Because runners used to make fun of triathletes, because triathletes were like, the way I would put it is, triathletes are like Cafe Napoli, right? Like the fancy Clayton bar, right? We're cool. And then runners were like the dive bar, like they're drinking Stag. That was the difference. But with the ascendance of running influencers, insufferable.
Well, here's what I'll say about influencers. There's an influencer for everything now.
There really is.
It's not just running influencers. There are influencers for every single genre you can think of.
I think somehow,
we don't need most of them.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure we need any of them.
I don't know.
But there are some for every. I didn't know there were runner influencers because I haven't like actually seen them in my feed. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing your algorithm is doing nothing but showing you running content.
I had to make an active effort to get out of, because running influencers were making me hate runners because they're obnoxious. They're just branded. It's all about like looking cute. And they all have that same, come with me as I get ready to run 7 miles mm-hmm. on this warm day. First, I put on this super cute little outfit from Lululemon. And it may, and that whole cadence makes you want to just die. It's just the worst. So there are, I had to work to get my running out my algorithm out of runners. So now I'm all like national parks. I've won. I've beat the algorithm.
This text message here says, if a vegan does CrossFit and plays pickleball, which one do they tell you about first? Here's what I'm going to say about vegans.
So true.
I think vegans have been beaten into shame. I don't hear anybody who's a vegan talk about being vegan. I don't hear anybody talk about pickleball. CrossFitters are still powering through. They are still powering through, and they will tell you about CrossFit. They will post about CrossFit. Everything is about CrossFit.
Well, that's the joke. A CrossFitter, a vegan, and an atheist walked into a bar. I only know it because they all told us as soon as they walked in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CrossFit and a wad? That's a gross word. That reminds me of phlegm.
Wad?
Like if you cough up something.
Where did you come up with that?
WOD?
Yeah.
That's what CrossFitters say. I think it stands for workout of the day.
Oh.
Or workout of day.
I've not heard that one.
I think so.
And welcome in Harambe, who says he's at work today, totally phoning it in. That's what, we don't care if you phone it in. We just want you to be at work. And we want you to be listening to this show.
You know what? I think we should make Harambe the mascot for our show, which will really confuse a lot of people. And I love it.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. It is the Chris and Amy show with you until 12 o'clock. It's 9 to noon every weekday. Glad you are with us. You know how to reach us. 314-436-7900. Apparently, everybody went to the Lake of the Ozarks for some reason this weekend, and Amy has a problem with all of you. It's 104.1 FM KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Marks Kors with you. And where are you? Are you at work? Maybe not. I feel like it was a big vacation weekend slash week last week heading into this one. I think a lot of people planned their vacations for after July 4th. They want to be here for the July 4th holiday. June is too soon to go on vacation because school just ends, right? At the beginning of June, it's just ending. You're getting your summer act together. You've got swim team. You've got tennis. You might have baseball. Then you make it through the July 4th weekend, and then everyone goes on vacation. I guarantee you your local pool is less crowded this week and next week than it's been all summer.
Maybe they just didn't want to travel with the rest of the mess because everybody travels on the 4th of July weekend.
There's that too, but all I know is the pool that we went to after July 4th growing up, it was empty. I don't know where everybody went. I guess people went on vacation, but it just felt like it was dead after the July 4th weekend. But I know where a lot of people were this past weekend, and that is the Lake of the Ozarks.
Mm.
The Lake of the Ozarks, which is a busy lake with boats that are too big for the lake in the lake. And I think actually a sad story. Somebody did die. A Wentzville man died a couple of weeks ago, maybe, in the Lake of the Ozarks in a boating accident. But you always heard about, okay, so I grew up when I was younger, like I stopped going to the lake when I was like 12, but when I was younger, we would go to the lake. That was kind of our family vacation. We'd get the Sears cargo, we'd put it on our station wagon, and then we'd head to the Lake of the Ozarks and people would do wave runners. And we always heard about Party Cove and Party Cove, which is real, but as like a 7-year-old who didn't know anything, they're like, there's bodies in Party Cove and it's gross. And
Party Cove is not for you at 7.
No, it's not.
It's for people in their 20s and 30s.
Yes. So then I started thinking, and then I heard on KMOX that one of the public beaches was closed because of E. coli. Now, you said, in defense of Lake of the Ozarks, Lake Michigan sometimes has E. coli warnings.
Every summer, yeah. Lake Michigan, at least once or twice a summer, will put out an E. coli warning statement.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not to get in the lake.
Not to get in the lake. The whole lake or just certain beaches?
I don't know. It can't be the whole lake. I didn't.
Things like an ocean.
I didn't pay close enough attention because I wasn't getting into the lake very often anyway. Yeah. And I don't even know why it happens. Is it the seagull poop?
No, I think stuff overflows from the city.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's what happens in California in the ocean. It dumps. Okay. And at any rate, the Lake of the Ozarks has had that warning. And so it just got me thinking about how many bodies are at the bottom of the Lake of the Ozarks. because I've been looking at different news stories, like, well, 12 people drowned this year in the Lake of the Ozarks. It looks like only five people drowned this year so far. The numbers were a little sketch, but definitely 5 to 12 people die every year at the bottom of the Lake of the Ozarks. You don't always recover them. How many bodies do you think are in the bottom of the Lake of the Ozarks?
I mean, historically?
You have no idea. No, Why am I asking you?
It's probably,
you've never even been to the Lake of the Ozarks.
I have not been to the Lake of the Ozarks.
You're not even a St. Louisan.
Lake of the Ozarks isn't in St. Louis.
No, but it's the vacation destination.
Yeah, if you're rich.
He hasn't been to the Lake of the Ozarks.
I haven't been to the lake.
Yeah. Doesn't
Patrick Mahomes have a house on the lake?
Yeah, but that's
new. It's like a $10 million
house.
That's
not how it was growing up. That's not what you did. Like,
doesn't our boss have a $10 million house on the lake?
No, he's got 3 boats.
No.
Yeah. But at any rate, the Lake of the Ozarks. So at any rate, I have friends who now, they go to Table Rock Lake. So I would like to rile up the listeners. Which lake is better, the Lake of the Ozarks or Table Rock Lake down in Branson? We're going to make this our question of the week, I believe. We're going to put it up on Twitter, at ChrisAmyKMOX. But yeah, just, I think there's a lot at the bottom of the lake. And the thing is, dark water is scarier than clear water. Because when you go to Destin, if you go to the Gulf side of Florida, you can see like 15 feet down. You can see what's going to nip at your toes. But at the Lake of the Ozarks, especially, have you ever sat? Well, you haven't been to the Lake of the Ozarks, but you guys, like an inner tube where it's just your bottom hanging down in the water.
Right.
In the lake, you don't know what's biting that thing.
Has anything ever bit?
Your bottom?
Yeah, you.
No, but I'm pretty sure you feel stuff. It could be a stick. It could be a fish. Dark water is scary.
In Florida, it's probably a gator.
Not in the ocean.
Maybe.
It's probably a stingray.
That's also possible.
Or a shark.
When I was in Florida once, we did so they have their little rivers that come in from the ocean. I don't know if you call them rivers. They're not quite that, but people live off of them.
Okay.
And they do manatee tours.
Inlets,
I guess. And they do manatee tours.
Okay.
Where they take you out, they go find manatees, and they let you get down there and swim with them, and you can't, you know.
Oh, I thought they were really mean.
No, they're super. They'll come up to you, but they tell you don't touch them.
Yeah.
They don't want you to touch the manatees, but they're very docile.
Okay.
And they're adorable. And I was afraid the entire time that I was going to be eaten by a gator. Because isn't that where the gators hang out? In the water, right?
Yeah. Yeah. In the inlets, in the swampy, kind of, not the ocean water.
And if I am not mistaken, you don't have to worry about the gators in the Lake of the Ozarks. Unless people have, you know, raised an alligator, it got too big, and they just went and threw it in water. Because that does happen. Which is a very dangerous thing to do. Now, what you're describing when it comes to the lake, all I can think about, and again, I have not been there.
Insane to me. Why don't we got to take this show to the Lake of the Ozarks? You are a guy who's made for backwater jacks.
Oh, is that the place where everybody stands up and goes wee wee in the water? Like, I know you're talking. I've heard about that place.
You're drinking.
Yeah, I've heard about
that place.
It's like
a pool and a bar.
Yeah. So
because it was open, it was famous because it was like open during COVID, obviously.
Right.
But then
I remember
someone
that.
Said, if you leave backwater jacks and you only have COVID, you're pretty lucky.
Doing pretty well. So. My question is, based on what you're describing to me, and I have to take your word for it because I don't know for myself, is Lake of the Ozarks actually gross?
Well, no. I think it is certain parts where the E. coli is. But the Lake of the Ozarks is huge. It's not like a round lake that you're looking at it.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Google Lake of the Ozarks.
I've seen it. It's
more
shaped
snaky. Like a dragon.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like a dragon. So there are quieter coves and there are busy coves. Party Cove is gross.
Party Cove sounds fun.
That's where the vomit and the dead bodies are.
Okay.
So you just got to know which cove to go to. That's why people who like have their homes on quiet coves, those are the homes you want to go to, because then you can water ski and you don't have to be worried about getting run over by a yacht. Because on the main channels of the Lake of the Ozarks on holiday weekends, it's like Jeff Bezos is blowing
past
you.
It's a free for all, isn't it?
It's a free for all.
Texter says Table Rock is cleaner, cleaner, clear, cooler water, which is terrific alliteration. Well done. I don't know. I haven't been there either. And also, this message says Lake of the Ozarks is where Jimmy Hoffa's body is, you know?
Oh my gosh.
That's not true.
That could be true. That texter gets it.
No, I thought he was.
You would never
find. Isn't he buried in cement?
In the Ozarks. You would never find Jimmy Hoffa in the bottom of the Lake of the Ozarks. That is such a great place to put Jimmy Hoffa. I didn't even think about that.
Poor Jimmy Hoffa. He's probably lived out his days, you know, on the beach somewhere.
At Chris Amy KMOX, our question of the week. Guys, you better start voting. Table Rock Lake is already crushing it. Not many votes, though.
Really? Another texter says Lake of the Ozarks is warmer, muddier water.
Oh.
1,100 miles of shoreline.
That's so much shoreline.
It really is. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. If you're at the lake still, why aren't you at work? But go ahead and reach out to the show today. We do want to hear from you and let us know if it's disgusting down there. 314-436-7900. You know, social media has become a real cesspool.
Yes, it has.
It can be a useful tool, but it can also be a lot of crap. You know, we're going to talk about that and what happens next, what we can do about it, which we have no answers, but we'll try to help you through them. It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Reach out to the show via text if you would like, or you can also on the Odyssey app leave a message. And this texter to 314-436-7900 said, in the 1970s, they wanted to jam up the Merrimack River and make another lake of the Ozarks closer to St. Louis.
Really?
I had not ever heard of that. And in a quick search, yeah, apparently in the 1970s, they wanted to build a dam near Sullivan,
okay,
which is upstream from Merrimack State Park. And they wanted to create something like a 24,000 acre lake.
Wow.
So,
because people use that Merrimack River. Like, everyone's gone floating on
floating
on the Merrimack River.
Did we left from Cuba? Cuba, Missouri, I want to say is where our starting point was, or maybe where our where we camped. I can't remember. But it was, yeah, I've done that once.
And that's the Merrimack River obviously goes on that other side of, like, 44, where, like, Lone Elk Park is. So Castlewood State Park is all along the Merrimack River. Kind of a dangerous river. It spots like the Castlewood part of the Merrimack River. They have signs there like don't go swimming there. There are under, you know, there are eddies that you can't see and it sucks people under. There are currents that you can't see. So people do swim there. But I know you have to be very careful. Some tragic drownings have happened in the Merrimack River near Castlewood State Park. But that would have been very interesting to have a lake there. You said it was 170.
That's what
miles of shoreline.
Yeah, just this, and again, this is a Google search, so I don't know how reliable all of this information is, but there was something like 175 miles of shoreline they were looking for, and then the acreage.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was the proper way to determine like the size of a lake. Would have been about 40% of what the Ozarks lake is.
That's interesting with so much less shoreline, because the Lake of the Ozarks, we said this in the break, has more shoreline than the state of California does.
That's true.
Yeah, has over 1,100 miles of shoreline. I will say, you haven't done this, but a couple of years ago, when I went to the lake, I did surfing for the first time, where everyone does water skiing, right? And again, I haven't gone to the lake since I was 12 up until 2 years ago, so maybe people have been surfing for a long time, but you're behind a speedboat. You've got a rope and you're on a surfboard,
yeah,
like a short surfboard. And you get to the point where you're on the wake of the boat,
right,
and you're being pulled by the boat. But then you toss the rope back into the boat and you just surf on the wake. I had never heard of this until 2 years ago.
Isn't that just called wakeboarding?
I don't know. Is it?
I think so.
Where you throw the rope back in the boat.
Yeah,
I didn't know about this. I didn't know about this. Again, I'm not an expert at the lake. So I did that for the first time 2 years ago. I couldn't throw the rope into the boat because I was holding on to the rope. And somehow I was so bad at it that I started to pass the boat. I started swinging so wide that the driver of the boat was like, get back behind the boat. We're going to hit you. I don't know how I swung so wide. They were laughing. Everybody was recording me. Everyone was laughing hysterically. And I'm somehow I was picking up speed and swinging wide around the boat. And somehow I was parallel with the driver of the boat.
I am just impressed that you did not accidentally throw the rope into the propeller of the boat.
Break the boat.
That seems like a thing you would have done.
That's actually a great point. I will say surfing behind the boat when you can like see the engine is a little disconcerting.
So,
you don't want to ski into the engine.
No, you do not.
So yeah, D.E. Vance, not related to J.D. Vance, said that's wakeboarding. I'd never wakeboarded. I didn't know that you could let go of the rope. Never seen that in my life.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well,
did you have a great time, even though did it wrong?
No, because I passed the boat.
Oh, you did it wrong.
I went faster than the boat. I swung so wide. At any rate, so we want to hear from you. We're trying to stir up the listeners because we want to know which.
See, we're just trying to get a rise out of you.
We're trying to get a rise out of you because that's what you do. You make people mad and they start to engage. Is Table Rock Lake better or is the Lake of the Ozarks better?
I'm telling you, we really should have put a third option. Aren't they both gross?
No.
Yes, that should have been the third option.
Guys, don't listen to him. He's never been to the Lake of the Ozarks, and he's never been to Table Rock.
I'm going based on reports. First-hand reporting from people who have been there.
That's because the people you know only go to Party Cove.
No,
that's the only cove. There are 1,100 miles of shoreline, and they only go to Party Cove. Now, you mentioned Googling facts about the lake and how you weren't sure if it was true or not. My hot take when it comes to AI... switching to the AI conversation and what's happening with social media and with Google, I think that AI is going to be subject to the second law of thermodynamics, meaning everything is breaking down into chaos. AI right now, it's not thinking on its own. It's not. All it is it's gathering all the information of everything that's out there. And AI doesn't have discernment. AI doesn't have wisdom. And it's just spitting out the stupidity of the humans who are pumping in junk online in a post-truth society. That's what's happening, and it's curating all of this. And so I think AI is going to get dumber, probably will get more hateful. We've seen Twitter last week, their AI assistant, Grok, started spewing pro-Hitler answers to questions.
Bunch of anti-Semitic stuff. And wasn't it unrelated to...
Some of it was completely unrelated. Some of it was asking about people hating white people, like who would be good to handle this or what should you do to handle this? And Grok suggested Hitler.
Yeah.
Like it was insane. And Linda Yaccarino, who was the head of Twitter, stepped down like the next day. And so which doesn't instill a lot of confidence that, oh, Twitter's been proactive in fighting anti-Semitism. She stepped down, and to me, which is some kind of admission that it's all gone to hell and they're not trying to tamp this down. I don't think Elon Musk cares. I think he is fine with the anti-Semitic content that's out there on Twitter. Well, yes.
Seems like it. I mean, I don't know what's in his heart, but I don't think it's good.
Yesterday.
That's just my opinion of him.
Elmo's account was hacked.
Not Elon, actual Elmo.
Yes,
Elmo from Sesame Street.
Yes, Elmo from Sesame Street.
Because some people jokingly call Elon Elmo.
They do?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, as an insult?
Yes.
But Elmo is
Elmo's at it again. That's just sort of a thing
really?
You see. Yeah.
That's dumb because Elmo is likable. The original Sesame Street.
Well, I think
Elmo.
They're calling him stupid.
Oh.
Stupider than you think.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Well, at any rate, Elmo's account was hacked and it was spewing hate towards the Jews. I'm not going to read what it said, but hate towards Jewish people, calling for very violent things. And it seems that Twitter is a haven for anti-Semitic hate and hate in general. And it doesn't seem that the people at Twitter who are left, because Elon, of course, once he bought it,
everybody.
Yes, he had a mass dismissal of people who worked there. He fired all of them. They're not doing much to tamp it down. I do think it's a real issue, and I think we're going to get to a point, Ronj, where people trust social media and Google less than they ever have before. Like, you're like, I don't even know if this is true. You just said it. You Googled it and said, I don't know if this is true.
So I always... have a little bit of reservation about using, because when you do use Google now, the very first thing you will get is the Google artificial intelligence response, and they try to summarize everything into bullet points or whatever. And every time I see it, my first thought is, well, I wonder how accurate this is. Whereas the old Google, it just, you know, will come up with links for articles that, you know, you can go through and read for yourself. And they still do that, but it's not the first thing you see anymore. So I don't feel like I can trust it outright. I think you probably get a good deal of truth in some of the Google results. But for the most part, I think every time I Google something, I think, I don't know. Well, let's see. Let's keep exploring. Let's keep looking at the links and see what's what here, because I don't necessarily trust them yet to, you know, give me good information. And maybe that will change. Maybe the AI will get better. But I agree with you. I think at this point, it's a little dangerous to just assume whatever AI results you're getting is accurate.
Yeah. No, and you can't trust, especially if you ask for a quote. I told this story before about Jonah Goldberg, and, you know, he reads and studies Friedrich Hayek, so he knows what Hayek has said and what Hayek has not said, and he Googled specific questions to Google's AI asking for quotes from Hayek, and they were giving him quotes. It was giving him quotes that didn't exist. And so Jonah Goldberg, because you can correct AI, said, he never said this. I have this book. He didn't say this. And AI said, oh, thank you for letting me know. I will need to be more careful next time. And he prompted him 3 or 4 times and said, give me only quotes that have been vetted, that we know these are true quotes from Hayek. And the AI, Gemini, I guess it is, Google, couldn't do it. And ChatGPT couldn't do it. And this is frustrating. And that's a fear, because most people wouldn't know Hayek that well. They don't know that Hayek didn't say this. If it sounds like something Hayek would say, you're going to read every book that he has and make sure he said it?
So it is a thing. And I know that most people know this, at least in the back of their minds, that they shouldn't trust the first result that comes up necessarily, that you should do a little bit of reading and a little bit of digging every time you make some kind of search. But it's a good reminder that we need to do that continually and not necessarily trust that first AI result. Because, again, I think it's a little dangerous. It's not, I don't think it's going to lead to deaths or anything, but it is dangerous to have bad information. We have a lot of people in the country have really bad information.
Yeah.
And that, I do believe, at least for a while, is going to make it worse. Maybe the artificial intelligence gets better. I mean, we think there will continue to be advancements and that they will get smarter and truthier, but it is still, in the meantime, good to be aware of that. We weren't necessarily talking about social media here. We were talking about, you know, artificial intelligence and Google.
I guess I was thinking of Grok. I kind of blended it because Grok is an AI for Twitter.
Yes, yeah. Grok is Twitter's AI. And Tom and Soko text into the show, social media is worse than a cesspool. It's a party cove. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Did You See This is next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, Did You See This with Chris and Amy.
Amy?
Yes?
No, oh, I thought you were going to go first. I guess I will.
Okay.
So, at the FIFA Cup, the FIFA Club World Cup final, which was yesterday, the president was there. So, Donald Trump was there. He was on stage with a champion, and they were trying to get him off the stage. It was a weird image, but that's not the important part. The important part is he was asked by a reporter if, in the United States, if he would consider penning a new executive order that would force us to call soccer football in the U.S. And the president joked, quote, I think we could do that. So, the question is, I mean, I haven't been calling it Gulf of America, but would you start calling soccer football if the president signs an executive order?
That's so confusing. That is so confusing. It's almost football season.
It's been football everywhere in the world.
But everywhere in the world doesn't have the NFL. We throw a game across the Atlantic every now and then, toss it over there and say, here, take a look at this.
Every year.
But
multiple games.
There's no NFL anywhere else. So, no, you can't call it football here. It's too confusing.
So, football as soccer has existed way before the NFL was a thing.
Oh, I know that.
So, isn't it really our fault that we call the wrong sport, call it by the wrong name? You saw the
Nate Bargatze. It doesn't matter whose fault
it is. The Nate Bargatze sketch.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the new America and what's going to happen. And he says, there's going to be a sport called football where you throw the ball with your hands.
Yeah.
And someone says, is there no kicking? He's like, well, there's a little kicking.
Yeah, well, that's like saying, okay, well, England's going to change its name to America. That's just going to be so confusing. You can't have two Americas. You can't have, well, you have North and South America. Mm. You can't have two United States of America.
I think.
And you can't have two footballs. It's so dumb.
This is one executive order I can get behind. If he renames soccer to football in the United States, I can get behind that.
Well, are you a gambler? A little bit? Yeah, a little gambling?
Just a little. I like to dabble.
So I don't know if you saw this, but in the big, beautiful bill, there were a lot of things in that bill that people didn't know because they really just paid attention to the parts of the bill that affected them and their constituents. But professional gamblers are pretty worried because there's a largely unknown provision in the big, beautiful bill. Right now, gamblers are able to deduct 100% of their gambling losses. So you only pay taxes on your winnings, which makes sense, right? But starting next year, only 90% of gambling losses will be deductible. So if a professional gambler wins $100,000, then loses $100,000 that same year, that gambler will own taxes on $10,000.
That he lost. I think that's insane.
It's a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously a mistake. None of the congressmen or women knew that this was in there. Nobody, I don't know how it got in there in the first place, but gamblers are saying, wait a minute, so we're going to have to pay taxes on 10% of our losses.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. So like, you know, on eBay, when you sell something when you sell either a lot of things that add up to, and I forgot what the threshold is, when you sell a lot of things that add up to a particular amount of money or one big item that costs like thousands, you have to pay taxes on it. Unless you sell it for less than you bought it for.
Yeah, you had to take a loss.
So you take a loss so you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Paying taxes on a loss is insane.
So this would be this is the same thing. This would be like selling something on eBay for less than you paid for it and then having to pay taxes on that.
If you're a pro gambler, and let's say it's $1 million, and they easily do more than that win or loss or whatever in these major tournaments. And let's say they win $1 million and they lose $1 million, so they break even. They're going to owe taxes on $100,000.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's insane.
They have to fix that.
Yeah. And apparently, according to the Washington Post, nobody knows how this happened. Nobody's stepping up.
Pew Research, Amy, with a new survey asking Americans and people around the world a number of different questions. Mm-hmm. And one of these questions is, they asked the people, like I said, in multiple countries. One of the questions is, U.S., China, and Russia are seen as the top threats across multiple countries. For two countries, Mexico and Canada, which country do you think people there have responded as the biggest threat to them?
And the answer is?
The United States.
Oh, my gosh.
68% of people in Mexico responded the United States is their top threat. 59% of Canadians said the United States is their top threat.
Do you know why I can tell you this is true? They're mad at us for obvious reasons. And also,
and they should be. They
Canada
have every right.
doesn't have to worry about Russia or China so long as it's attached to the United States. I mean, it's true. No one's attacking Canada.
Right. But also, this is on can you imagine 25, 30 years ago saying that Canadians and Mexicans would think we were their greatest threat?
Right.
Never would have even thought
you
that was possible.
But it's not the same way. It's not in the attacky, bomby kind of way. It's in the way that Canada doesn't have to worry about anybody, a real geopolitical adversary, attacking them because they sit atop the United States, and we're not going to let our enemies get that close.
Well, it could be an economic threat. And that is a huge threat, too.
Yeah, that's what they're focused on.
Their third choice was Indonesia at 40%, South Africa, Brazil, and Argentina. Those were the top six.
South Africa?
Yeah.
Oh. Quick note, Superman, which I said it was the whole woke conversation was from the, and I quote, Sorry, saggy-ass Greg Gutfeld. He's not real. He's not serious. Jesse Waters isn't real. He's not serious. Saying, oh, it's a woke Superman. Well, that's not what the people think. Superman took the number one spot this weekend with $122 million in ticket sales. It was the third largest debut of the year, behind only a Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch. And again,
Lilo and Stitch?
No, I have. I didn't remember if it was Lilo or Lilo. And again, kids' movies are hard to beat because of all those parents with all these little guys going, take me to the movie! So the fact that Superman was the number one adult movie...
Have you heard from anybody who's seen it for themselves?
No.
I have not either that I can think of. But I can't wait to see it. I'm interested. St. Louis and James Gunn directed the thing. And Sean Gunn, his brother, is in it. We've talked to Sean before on the show.
Gun control to Major Tom.
That's not a song. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Ulin, who is the founder of Elite Student Coach. It is a program that specializes in working with college-bound teens, helping them gain admission to top-tier schools and achieve lifelong success. So we're going to talk to Dan when we come back. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence effects on students' minds, which is a really important thing and pretty new territory for us here in the United States. So we'll talk to Dan when we come back on KMOX.